Well, good morning. Always a delight to look out at each one of you and see who has come. And there's Paula in the back. We are so glad that you're here. It's a blessing just to know that you have been doing so well. And yet, you know, we joke about it that sometimes, you know, we can see something like that, and either the person themselves say, oh, yes, I've been doing great, or we see the person, we decide, oh, they're doing great, and somehow they're bumped off our prayer list. And I remember years ago when I belonged to this group, we had a little prayer group, and we'd go around a circle and share our requests, and then we'd pray. And this one particular week, this one friend said, oh, you don't need to pray for me. Everything is great. And the next week she went, oh, my goodness, don't ever let me say that again. And truly, it is a blessing to be able to pray for each other, isn't it? And that's why I feel that these groups that we've been having has been something that has really blessed each one of us. And I know for me, to just know people are praying for me is a constant comfort. It's a reassurance. And that's just in everyday life. And if you're going through something big, like having major back surgery, what a comfort to just know that prayer support is there, girding you up, you know, that people are lifting your name to the Lord. And so I just love that. I love the hymn we sang this morning, 'Tis So Sweet to Trust in Jesus. And I know I've alluded to hymns at different times in this study, but again, I'll just say it, you know, if you do not have a hymnal, you should just go to any used bookstore, or you can get them on Amazon. But get a hymnal, because even just to read through the pages is wonderful. And as Amy said, it's good doctrine too. I remember my mom, and when she was really going through her last days here on earth and was in pain a lot of the time, she had a hymnal, and she would just read the hymns, and she'd say, oh, these are just so wonderful. You forget how powerful the words are, and they're just a boost to your faith when you read them. So I'll always encourage you to do that. As all of you know, our foundational scripture for this study this year has been Matthew 11 and 28 through 30. And it's a verse I think most of us know. Come unto me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And my guess is that this verse was probably highlighted in most of our Bibles long before this study ever came to be. But it's one of those passages that you hear quoted often. And it's the Lord's invitation to us. And to me, his invitation is so compelling. And again, that's part of what I think draws us to this verse. His invitation is compelling, that he would say to us, come unto me. And it's so amazing to think that we would ever resist that, let alone refuse it. And we've looked at that these past weeks and months, and I've been amazed at how much the Lord has shown us through it. You know, I love the fact that the Lord, and I'm sure because it is the study that rest has been uppermost in your mind. For me, it surely has been. And I do want to thank you all for praying for Tad and Marna and when that cyclone was hitting Vanuatu. But I do want to tell you, and I had several people telling me they were praying for me, and again, thank you for that. I'm not in any way discounting the power and the meaning of your prayers. But I do want to tell you that the Lord kept me in this place of rest. We were watching it for the day before it even hit. We kept following it on the Weather Channel and all the, we have access to so much on the internet anymore, and being able to just literally watch it progress and actually have it animated or whatever you call it, they show the wind, and we were just watching that, knowing it was coming, and it was showing that the path was right over that chain of islands. And yet, I have to tell you, I experienced rest that was absolutely wonderful. I mean, I just had this peace that Tad and Marna were going to be safe. And you know from what Brett shared, amazingly, truly I believe miraculously, that storm did not really touch down on Tad's island. And yet, so many of the islands right there all around them were literally decimated. And I just thank the Lord for the peace he gave me. And I know that Tad and Marna were so grateful for your prayers. They're still there, so continue to pray. But it truly is a blessing to have that rest. And I was so mindful of it. I kept thinking, especially every time I would see someone and they'd say, "How are you doing? I want you to know I'm praying for you." And I almost felt like I should almost go, "Oh, thank you." You know, I mean, you know how sometimes we feel we're supposed to respond a certain way. And I have to tell you, I couldn't drum it up. You know, it was a rest that was wonderful, and I know it was from the Lord. That said, I do have to confess to you that very recently there was something that came up where I lost my rest. And it was kind of a crazy thing. You know, I think that's what broadsides us, things that where we don't anticipate it. And yet it was one of those things that I felt the stress building. You know how it comes. You feel it first, and of course, that's the very moment you're supposed to stop and say, "Oh, Lord," you know. But I felt the stress building, and I just kept proceeding, and it was mounting up, and it was becoming burdensome, and it was just getting more and more weighty by the moment. And literally, at one point, I mean, I was literally ready to pull my hair out. And you might be thinking, "Wow, what on earth got her like this? What was it?" Doing my taxes. I mean, is that so stupid? I mean, truly, to consider that here, just the week before, my son and daughter-in-law were in harm's way in a big way. I am at rest. Here I am just gathering the information for my taxes. And no kidding, I mean, literally, I was ready to pull my hair out. And then the crowning blow was when I went to print off some invoices and my printer didn't work. And I have shared with you in the past about times when my printer has bothered me, even as recently as this morning. And I've decided I'm going to take a different look at my printer from now on. I'm going to look at it with a critical eye, because what I see is that it is a weapon that the enemy very effectively uses against me. And truly, it was when the printer did not work, and it was just like, that was the crowning blow, that I realized, oh my goodness, what is happening to me? And I just stopped and I said, "Lord, I am so sorry. I know you want to give me rest, even in this stupid thing of doing taxes." And I just prayed and I determined to just stop, to quiet down, to let him give me his rest, which he did. And part of that was in the words that my son Brian spoke to me when he just said, "Mom, you're overthinking this thing," you know. And I at the time I was thinking, you know, no, you don't realize. But then right afterwards I'm thinking, yeah, I think I really am. And I decided to just be done. And I got them back yesterday and I didn't miss anything, so I'm very happy about that. But it is amazing what the Lord will do in giving us peace. If he can give us a mother's heart rest when she knows that her child is in danger, do you think he can give us rest over, you know, much less weighty things in life like taxes? And yet we miss it. And so if you find yourself, even though you've been coming to this study with a focus week after week after week has been rest, if you find yourself still lacking that rest at times, ask the Lord, nudge me, Lord, help me. I was so glad when the Lord finally, I mean, who knows how many times he was nudging me as I'm plowing through the taxes, but allow him to give you that rest because it is what he has for you. You know, I have loved this study, and I'm so glad that the Lord directed us to this passage this year. I had no idea where he would lead with it. I did not know where we were going to go. I'm amazed by what he has done and what he has shown us. And always to remind you, this is something he works in me before it is ever something I share with you. Every single week, it's something he works in me first. And I am so thankful because this has been a good study for me. And you think to yourself, you know, by the time you're my age, shouldn't you have it kind of down? You know? But you know what? It's what Brett was talking about last night. We are works in progress. Process. Works in process. And, you know, he'll never be finished with us. And we will always be subject to the flesh until the day we wake up in heaven. And without a doubt, fear is one of those things that has proved to be a hot spot in this study. The first week when I just kind of touched on fear, I could see how it resonated in the women. And the women, I mean, it was one of the only times that I got emails, I got voicemails telling me that, oh, the study was just for me, and that's why I had to tell you, you know. And all these people that felt the study was just for them. And then I realized, you know what? I need to share more next week on this. And so then the next week I shared again. And eventually, as you all know, that's what led us to Paula sharing about her amazing adventure in Africa, and specifically her canoe trip down the Zambezi River. When she shared that, she surely had no idea, none of us did, what was going to follow that. And yet, that followed with Elisa sharing how it had impacted her, then Judy Pierce, and last week, Tawny. Every single one of them were impacted and just wanted to share from their perspective what the Lord had said. And what I love is the verse in Revelation where it says that the Lord has the voice of many waters. And that to me is the perfect example of it. We all heard the same message, but the Lord spoke different things to each one of us through it. And I kept thinking, one of them is going to give my message. And they didn't. And it was so much fun to realize that, Lord, you even showed me something from a whole different angle. And yet, they all dovetail at the same time. And even some of the same scriptures have been used. But I love that because this is my week to share. And I know that even as Pastor Brett has said many times, you know, repetition is exactly what many of us need to really learn. We need to hear something over and over again. My insights didn't really hit me at the time of her teaching, or even the next day. It was the Saturday morning after her teaching, when I was just in my regular reading, going through the one-year Bible, that the Lord surprised me. When I opened the Bible, I did not have any expectation. I wasn't thinking of Paula's teaching. I had no thought that the Lord was going to start speaking to me. And yet, he started speaking in the very first verse. If you want to double check, it's from March 7th, and it's Numbers 8. And it says in the first three verses, "Give Aaron the following instructions. When you set up the seven lamps in the lampstand, place them so that their light shines forward in front of the lampstand." And I read a little note I had written in the margin, and I don't know if I put it there last year or the year before, but my note said, "Look not back." And immediately, Paula's amazing canoe ride came to mind, because I was thinking, in a canoe, you want to be going forward. If you find yourself looking back, it's because you know your canoe has turned around, and that is not a good feeling, you know. It immediately tells you that something is very wrong, and you better be careful. No, in a canoe, it's important to be looking forward. You don't really want to see where you've come from, but you do need to see where you're going. And it's so funny, because in real life, that same truth is there as well. And most of us, I would even say all of us, have a propensity to look back, to hang on to the past. We lug it around. Some people call it baggage. And I think that's a good picture. We lug it around with us wherever we go. And I've often said, if we only have the spiritual eyes to see it, you know, we take the three steps forward, lug, you know, three more steps forward, lug. That is actually what we do. And the Lord tells us in Isaiah 43:18, forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? The very first time the Lord gave that to me was at an incredibly important time in my life. It was the same month that my marriage came to an end. And coinciding with that verse was another verse that the Lord had given me multiple times in those weeks. I read it, I heard it, I saw it on plaques. It's one that you all probably know too, Jeremiah 29:11. "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans to give you hope and a future." The Lord showed me very, very clearly. He had plans for me. He had a future for me. And for any of you who have experienced your marriage coming to an end, you know it feels like a huge cement wall, and you cannot imagine getting past it. And yet that was the message the Lord kept telling me. You know, I know the plans I have for you. I had none, but he had them. But then with that reminder, which he was giving to me at every turn, was Isaiah 43:18. Forget the former things. And he showed me that to walk into the future, to experience the plans he had for me, would require something of me, and that was to let go of the past, to even forget those former things. And again, for those of you who have gone through anything that is really a life changer in your life, you know how hard that is. You, in fact, it seems like a pretty impossible task. You can't even really imagine. You might say, well, I agree with it in principle, but this is not something I'm going to forget. And the Lord says, forget it. Another verse he gave me was from Job 11 at this time. That seemed even more unlikely. You will surely forget your troubles, recalling them only as waters gone by. And when I read that, I thought, oh, that sure sounds good. And I couldn't fathom such a thing being possible. But can I tell you today that he made that a reality in my life? Yes, I can. That's what he wants for each one of us. Not carrying this baggage around, but walking into the future, allowing his plans for us to be realized. That's what he desires. Maybe some of you have run in a marathon. I have not, but I have certainly enjoyed watching a few. And in Southern Oregon, we have a mini marathon every spring, and it's called the Pear Blossom. And for many years, I had enjoyed being on the sidelines, being the person who would cheer on the runners. And year after year after year, I observed the same thing as I looked at the runners. And that is, there were basically three kinds of runners. The first was the kind that they were doing it primarily just so they could say they did. You know, they'd done it. And they were there, and those were the ones who would just, wave at their friends, you know, because friends would call out, and they'd turn and look and wave at their friends. They'd take the cup of water. They would just, you know, having a good time. They weren't particularly caring about what their time would be. They just wanted to finish the race. Then there were those that you saw who you knew didn't plan very well, and they started out running too fast. And by the time I saw them at the halfway mark, they were already spent, and the look on their face was, just get me to that finish line. That's all they cared about. But what about the runners, the serious runners? The runners who their goal was basically to either win that race, and if not to win it, to, you know, beat whatever time they had run it in before. But they were serious. They were determined runners. Guess what? They ran looking forward. They weren't distracted when people were cheering them on. They didn't turn and look and wave. If they accepted the water, how they even knew it was there, they were just kind of like this, but their face never turned. I love the verse in Isaiah 50 where it says in verse 7, because the sovereign Lord helps me, I will not be disgraced. Therefore have I set my face like flint, and I know I will not be put to shame. Jesus set his face like flint, and we need to do the same. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. I know without a doubt that there are some sitting here this morning And this is a message that the Lord has been speaking to you. Maybe for some of you real recently, but for others it's been for a long time. And what I want to say to you is, guess what? Here you are, and you're hearing it again. Don't take that as, oh, what a coincidence. No, it's exactly what the Lord is speaking to you. And I would encourage you to heed it. Let it go. That is what the Lord is saying to you. Let it go. And I pray that you will. He says, for I know the plans I have for you. Doesn't matter whether you know them, understand them, see them or not. He knows. And they're plans to give you a future and a hope. Returning to that morning when I was having my daily reading, we were also in Numbers 5, 15 through 23. And that's what I would like to read to you. So if you want to turn to Numbers 5. And if you don't, then at least just, no, not Numbers 5, Numbers 9, sorry. On the day of the tabernacle, the tent of the testimony was set up. The cloud covered it. From evening till morning, the cloud above the tabernacle looked like fire. That is how it continued to be. The cloud covered it, and at night it looked like fire. Whenever the cloud lifted from above the tent, the Israelites set out. Wherever the cloud settled, the Israelites encamped. At the Lord's command, the Israelites set out, and at his command, they encamped. As long as the cloud stayed over the tabernacle, they remained in camp. When the cloud remained over the tabernacle a long time, the Israelites obeyed the Lord's order and did not set out. Verse 20, sometimes the cloud was over the tabernacle only a few days. At the Lord's command, they would encamp, and then at his command, they would set out. Sometimes the cloud stayed only from evening till morning, and when it lifted in the morning, they set out. Whether by day or by night, whenever the cloud lifted, they set out. Whether the cloud stayed over the tabernacle for 2 days or a month or a year, the Israelites would remain in camp and not set out. But when it lifted, they would set out. At the Lord's command, they encamped. And at the Lord's command, they set out. They obeyed the Lord's order in accordance with the command through Moses. I love that. I love, and just can imagine what that must have been like for the Israelites. I mean, to me, you would have to really live in the mode of letting go. And God was the one who was directing. What an amazing thing. You could never predict, was the cloud going to lift today? Or was the pillar of fire going to lift during the night? I mean, what an amazing dependency they had on that cloud. Immediately, once again, my thoughts went right to Paula, because you probably remember that the name of their guide was Cloud. And I started laughing. I thought, Lord, this is so funny. Because here I had no thought of this, and yet it was like I couldn't get away from it. As I thought about Cloud, you know, their guide, and pondered their river trip, I thought, what an amazing thing, you know. Do you suppose that they are all submitting to his decisions? Of course they were. They were totally yielded to him. Did they ever have the mindset of telling him where they wanted to stop for lunch? Or this is where we want to be for tonight? Or I think we should float down the river on that side or on this. I don't want to go around there. I mean, we know that they did not. They were totally yielded to his knowledge to guide them through dangers that we know were lurking at every side. And in this river of life that we're all on, I think sometimes it can be as scary as the Zambezi. And some of us do get alarmed, do get frightened. And it's because we miss seeing the guide who is with us. You know, even as he appointed Moses to lead the Israelites, he has people in positions of authority that we're to submit to as well. And I thought it would be a real temptation to go into the various areas of our lives where yielding to authority is required of us. But because of time constraints, I thought, I think I will just land a little bit on the order God has for us in the home. He has clear order of authority in the home. The husband, who is the head, is to submit to the Lord. The wife is to submit to her husband as unto the Lord. And the children are to obey their parents. I mean, it doesn't get much easier than that. I mean, just in one little paragraph, it makes it really clear the order that God has in the home. And yet we all know, we've experienced it ourselves, we've seen it in others, we get that mixed up all the time. And it's interesting because the thing that hit me, and I know it has probably hit you many times as well, is God's order, his plan, is not a democracy. You know, and we live in a time where there's this amazing emphasis on the weight that each person's desire should be, you know, put. I've seen over the years, or heard about over the years, people who have these family meetings, and I do want you to know it's that's not something I'm against. I think family meetings can be great. But I have heard stories where in these family meetings, they have given great weight to what the children say on a matter. And that can be on whether they should move to another state, whether they should buy a new house, whether the children should be public schooled or homeschooled, even to the church they attend. And I do not see God give them that kind of weight. And it's not that we're not to give loving consideration to our kids and to what their hearts are feeling. I mean, absolutely. But it's not a situation. There are many situations, such as the ones that I mentioned, where it's not a vote. And I pray that for any of you who have kind of gotten caught up in that, because it is part of our society, the culture we live in now, support that in Scripture, and you won't be able to. That is not what the Lord would have. I thought of the story in Numbers 12, remember, where Miriam and Aaron said, "Does the Lord speak only to Moses?" And we read that the Lord heard and that he was very angry. And there were serious repercussions from that. That's in Numbers 12, if you want to reread that. The truth is, we all have authorities in our lives, whether we're single or married, young or old. And of course, the Lord and his word is to be the ultimate authority in each one of our lives. But we do need to submit to the authority that God has in our lives. And we need to look at that authority as God given. Now, of course, the cloud which directed the Israelites was in truth the Holy Spirit among them. And we need to recognize that he is with us as well. How we need to count on that. Psalm 32:8 says, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you and watch over you. And this is one of those verses where I love how it says in the King James Version, I will guide you with mine eye. I love that. In Isaiah 42:16, I will lead the blind by ways they have not known. Along unfamiliar paths, I will guide them. And in Isaiah 30:21, whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. And there are many, many, many more verses, but those are three of my favorites that speak of the Lord being with us and guiding us. And he wants us to rely on him, to count on him. I loved us singing that. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. Are we going to take him at his word? He so wants us to get it. And that's why he repeats things to us, brings the same verses to us over and over again. He wants us to get it. I've just loved the fact that we've been focusing on receiving his rest. On the Zambezi, Paula saw the contrast between her boat and Jen's. The rest that Jen was experiencing was visible, wasn't it? She was not on alert, but she was capturing the beauty in pictures as she went down that river, not missing a thing. You know, I'm convinced that her pictures must have turned out to be as beautiful as the rest that Paula saw in her. I totally believe that Jen's rest was because of the lens she was looking through. And I'm not talking about her camera. Her loved one, Kaipo, was at the helm. And it never occurred to her that he would not keep her safe and take care of her. And of course, their guide, Cloud, was overseeing the entire trip. When Paula's canoe got a little off, he was right there to redirect it. They had a trip of a lifetime, and Paula lived to tell us about it. Do we know that our loved one is at the helm of our lives? Do we know he is there? That when our little boat finds itself in dangerous predicaments, that he will be there to guide us, that he is there. He is with us. And when we choose to view our lives through that lens and rest in the fact that he's with us. If you'd like, turn to Isaiah 63, verse I want to close with. We're going to start in the 11th verse. Then his people recall the days of old, the days of Moses and his people. Where is he who brought them through the sea with the shepherd of his flock? Where is he who set his Holy Spirit among them, who sent his glorious arm of power to be at Moses' right hand, who divided the waters before them to gain for himself everlasting renown? Who led them through the depths? Like a horse in open country, they did not stumble. Like cattle that go down to the plain, they were given rest by the Spirit of the Lord. This is how you guided your people to make for yourself a glorious name. God is faithful. He is our guide, and he will lead us perfectly. His promise is true, and his presence will be with us for every moment of every hour, of every day, of every week, of every month, of every year. And if we believe that, we will receive his rest. Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much for your faithfulness to us. Lord, week after week after week, we keep talking about it. Thank you for showing us the rest you have for us. You're an invitation to us to come to you. Lord, it's an invitation that truly is a command to come. And yet, Lord, there is that sin nature in us that resists, sometimes even refuses. Forgive us for those times. And Lord, just nudge us until we realize your rest is there and we're missing it. Thank you for the rest we have experienced. Thank you for the peace. Thank you for being a God whose presence is with us always. In Jesus' name, amen.